We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Well, it's, you know what, it's a game seven. If it wasn't game seven, I think it'd be real tough, but it's going to be game seven. I think both teams want to advance, and I don't think it'll be quite as fast as the first couple of periods in tonight's game, but I think it'll be two teams grinding it out, trying to advance. So it's do or die in the next game for both teams.
That's Gerard Gallant before Game 7, do or die. And he's probably feeling pretty good up 3-0. They lose 5-4 in overtime. The Sharks get four goals on the same five-minute power play. That was a bad call for the five-minute major. So get ready for replay to come in. Coaches' challenges on major penalties. But the Sharks win. They advance in seven games. Leafs lose. That means Boston's on to the next round. They'll play Columbus. And the Washington Capitals and Carolina Hurricanes go tonight for Game 7 in Washington. Zach Bogosian, hip surgery for him. 5 to 6 months to recover. That means he's a question mark at the start of the season, if he wasn't already. He was day-to-day at the end of the season for the Sabres.
Was he?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Is it a different injury? Could this have happened a month ago? The Amerks at Toronto tonight. They trail in the series 2-0.
Alex Nylander has also been day-to-day, too, for quite some time
weeks.
Now.
Paul made a point about this at our website, that the Sabres seem to put their coaches in a position to not be able to be truthful.
Yeah, where they're day-to-day, and all of a sudden the guy's out for a couple of weeks, and it turns into week-by-week at some point or something long. Yeah, right.
Yankees win, beating the Angels. The Mets beat Philadelphia. The Bisons lose to Syracuse. Bo Bichette, broken hand, out indefinitely. Seattle a trade. Frank Clark to Kansas City for a 2019 first and second. They'll extend him on a deal, one of the better pass rushers in the league. They did have D Ford. Why'd they swap one pass rusher for another and ultimately pay picks to do it?
I guess they did decide to just overhaul their defense. Ford was part of a number of guys they moved out in the offseason.
Yeah. Those are your sports headlines.
The NHL playoff scoreboard brought to you by Fiegel and Carr, your border attorneys. Tonight's game, by the way, is 7:30, Canes and Capitals. And then round two begins Thursday night. The league already announced that Columbus, Boston, and Dallas, St. Louis will play Thursday.
Okay. Imagine how much pressure the Capitals are feeling right now if they don't win the Cup last year. It's another season, another division winner. The top team has been knocked out, right? Tampa's not around.
Yeah.
In the Western Conference.
You don't have to worry about Pittsburgh.
From
their standpoint.
The dragon you have to slay isn't around.
Right.
And you've got Game 7 at home against Carolina. The pressure would be immense. Instead, it's, well, I hope they win. I mean, there's pressure for the players, of course. They want to win. But you win the Cup the year before, that's going to be lessened quite a bit.
Well, there's no they won the Cup. I was going to say there'd be no discussion about whether the coach is not as good as Barry Trotz. There'd be no discussion blaming Alexander Ovechkin. We wouldn't have a discussion about whether there's too much skill on the Washington Capitals, that they're not built the right way to win in the playoffs, and what do the Capitals have to do to the roster. So the stuff that we'd always talk about when the Capitals would go belly up in the postseason, we don't have to worry about that anymore. Now it's the Toronto Maple Leafs we talk about with that.
Yeah.
Or Calgary or whatever other teams you want to bring up that supposedly don't have enough grit or sandpaper and have too much skill and aren't built to win in the postseason, which is a ridiculous discussion. But anyway, I'm watching the play again. I think the NHL discussion, I really think, I got to tell you, I think there's a clarification needed here. There's a little bit of confusion from my standpoint that Gallant said the referees told him.
He cross-checked
in the face. The pool, the supervisor of officials to the pool reporter never mentioned that. He said they determined it was a major infraction by what resulted from that play.
Well, they must have seen a replay and realized that he didn't cross-check him in the face,
but they thought he hit. Look, Pavelski's out. He's bleeding. He's down on the ice. Even though he didn't hit him in the face, we're going to call this a five-minute major because of what happened to Joe Pavelski. So I think I thought it was because they missed the call. I don't think that's the case. It sounds like they knew the cross-check wasn't in the face, but they threw the five-minute penalty on him because look what happened to Pavelski on the play.
SportsCenter's running a montage. They're putting it up there with the Tuck rule with Jeffrey Mayer in New York. for the Yankees and Orioles.
I can't watch the
And the Saints-Rams?
Yeah.
They're also putting it up there with the blocking foul called on LeBron in game one of the finals last year, as if this is one of the biggest game-changing moments, I guess, in sports history, or at least recent history.
I'm just impressed they felt the need to put hockey in this discussion.
Right. You gave up four.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, too. Look, Buffalo sports fans, you've had plenty of experience with bad calls. What do you do after it? You know, you still had. It was 3-0. It wasn't even like a one-goal game or was tied. It was 3-0 with a little over 10 minutes to go in the third period. Yes, it is I understand you're down a man for 5 minutes, but you had a 3-goal lead at that point. When was the last time anybody gave up 4 goals on a major penalty? The same major penalty. I got to look that up. I have not seen. If anybody knows it, tweet me the stat, because I'll bet that doesn't happen that often in the National. But it's probably never happened in a playoff game. If it has, someone let me know. So yeah, I think I get Vegas's outrage and all that. And you know, like I said, you know, you might not agree with the interpretation. I think they're determining it was Pavelski's injury and not a missed, you know, cross check to the face call. But okay. Stop the bleeding. Even after the first minute, you gave up 2 goals in the first minute of the power play. You're still leading. Still 3-2. How about the penalty killers do the job? How about, you know, Marc-Andre Fleury, who played well this series, come up with some saves? You know, it's unbelievable, you know, unless these guys they gave up 2 quick goals on the power play, became just completely unglued, and just, you know, vomited all over themselves, basically. But they did come back and tie it and lose in overtime. Yeah, I think that's a big part of the story, too. The focus will be on officiating. The focus will be on the call. The focus will be on whether the NHL interpreted it correctly. But you can't absolve the Vegas Golden Knights, who may have gotten screwed, but still had a 3-0 lead at the time the penalty was called. And kill it off. Nobody gives up 4 power play goals on a 5-minute major in this league.
You want an idea from a texter on what the Sabres can do and how the Sharks are affected? Say the Sabres hire Granberg. Here you go, Brayton. This is right up your alley. You hire Granberg, you trade Risto, and you take a run at Carlson in free agency.
Well, Granberg, I would assume, has coached him at some point.
Hopefully Carlson likes him.
Yeah.
That'd be a way.
Why not?
That'd be a way to be good immediately.
You want to make your defense better? You want to make your offense better?
Maybe some roster surgery. Anyway, I didn't mean to sidetrack it. I just saw that and wanted to mention that.
No, I honestly, when we were talking about Granberg yesterday, the thought occurred to me because of all the great players that have come through the Swedish program. I would assume he's cross-path. I'd have to check it. I would assume he's cross-path at some point with Carlson. Maybe not.
There was also a story last night, a little bit of a rumor that Nashville might want to trade P.K. Subban.
Is he a problem in the room?
He could be on the move again. No, just that he's the guy that you'd want to trade. They have other guys that are better value contracts.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah.
Apparently Bulldog tweeted out that
John Shannon reported that. Oh, okay. He expects the Predators to explore trading P.K. Subban.
Bulldog apparently tweeted out last night, according to the game story, this is the second time this has ever happened in the Stanley Cup playoffs. 1998, Blues did it versus the Kings. 4 goals on the same major power play. So apparently it's happened before in the playoffs, but 21 years ago.
Tough way to lose. Tough way to lose.
Yeah, it's all right. Like I said, everybody goes through it.
Yes,
come on.
Right.
What if Vegas fans haven't suffered?
So what happens as a result? Majors are reviewable?
Wait till Vegas gets the NFL team and they lose on a bad call in the Super Bowl or something. I don't even know how do you separate it?
You go to video monitor review for every major penalty. It's not hard. It's the same as in college hockey, they review for hits to the head to see if they're going to eject somebody.
Right.
So you just.
But then it stops. The frozen four was stopped how many times for hits to the head?
But there aren't that many majors called. You would just say major penalties will be subject to video review to see if it indeed holds up. It's the NBA reviewing a flagrant one or a flagrant two. Right, you stop the game at a moment where there's a significant infraction.
I think college does too for flagrant.
I mean, I'm totally on board with there's too much replay, but this does seem like it would be relatively easy and would not happen that often. It would be easy to implement. Major penalties get video review.
But you know what? This is why I'm saying I think this is a little confusing and I need clarification, because I said my first thought when I saw the clip was, here comes the discussion. This is Rams Saints NHL version. But now, like I said, I need clarification.
But the difference is, I'm sorry, real
no,
quick.
No, go ahead.
Rams Saints, that's a big discussion because pass interference happens arguably on every play.
Right.
So it changes the sport fundamentally being able to review those. This, while having the same kind of impact, how many majors are there per game?
Not many. But
one,
like I said,
one every two games?
But this might not be even a missed call. Again, this is more if I'm reading the story correct, based on what the officiating supervisor said. This is not, hey guys, we thought he cross-checked him in the face. This is interpretation of he falls to the ice, he's hurt. That's why we made it.
I think you are reading what is CYA.
Okay, I just want to
right
based on what the league is saying.
The officials can't say he hit him in the face.
The call, right?
Because they know.
Well, then I need the league to tell me that.
Yeah.
Admit it. Fess
they,
up then and tell
the
me.
Call?
Our guys thought he hit him in the face because that's what they told Gallant. That's the guys on the ice tell Gerard Gallant we thought he hit him in the face. After the game, the officiating supervisor tells the pool reporter it was based on the result of the play. So someone's got to give me the truth here before we get into the discussion of whether the league will now let's review. This is not a missed call if you go by what the supervisor said. Right, it could be they're just, you know, no goal. Hey, we're just, what memo? I don't know what you're talking about. Brett Hall was not in the crease. What do you, okay, anyway, I think we've all gone down that road before. Anyway, hey, this is part of being a sports fan. You got to deal with all this crap from the National Hockey League.
Texter says there are not many majors, but there are a lot of uncalled cross checks every
game. Oh, my goodness. Last night in the Bruins game.
But that's not going to happen. They're not going to review
right.
every cross check.
Right.
This is, I don't want a lot of replay. This is easy to implement.
Right.
Every major is subject to video review.
You're right.
In fact, you might get more majors called knowing the official. If the official
because they can correct it?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
There still wouldn't be that many.
Right.
I hate creeping replay. I don't even need them to do this. If they do, it doesn't it doesn't have to be drastic.
I don't need them to do it. But he's right about cross-checks. I mean, it happens all the time. Honestly, as a fan, you've gotten to the point where you accept it. In fact, last night, they called a cross-check on one of the Bruins players. And, of course, Milbury went bananas about it. But he made a valid point. Guys were getting knocked down and cross-checked all night last night. Chara knocked Nylander, somebody. First period, there's a guy in the crease. Puck's passed in from the corner. Chara knocks him down before the puck gets there. He cross-checks him, knocks him down to the ice. There was no call. Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of those plays that, as a hockey fan, we've come to understand they're not going to call every guy getting knocked down in the course of the game. They're going to call it if it's blatant or maybe if it affects a scoring opportunity, but guys get knocked down. It was happening all the time in the game last night in Boston. You want to grab this here? Yeah. Greg in Buffalo, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hey guys, so I'm a linesman in NCAA hockey, and I'm just thinking back. Honestly, I didn't see the hit. I ended up falling asleep, but just from my standpoint of like thinking through it, like there's four refs on the ice, well, two linesmen, two refs. Like if one of them saw it, they're obviously telling the other person. So if a linesman had a great view at it and that ref already had his arm up, they're talking about it to see if it is a major. If they miss it, then there's four guys on the ice who should be liable, obviously. The second point to it is college hockey. Any major hit is reviewable.
Mm-hmm.
So they see it, put their arm up for a major, they think they could have a major, they're going to go take a look at it. And, I mean, multiple games, there's been, well, I guess a lot of games, there's either none or a ton. And that's usually how it ends up working out, but... I mean, I guess if you're looking for the right call on the ice, especially when it comes to in college hockey, it's all about player safety. And and here in NHL, I guess it's all about the right call on the ice.
Don't they review every hit to the head in college hockey,
I
right?
I believe, yes, they review boarding. Right, they're going to review majors to see if a guy needs to be kicked out.
Unless they're 100% sure, like, I have the right call, it's on me, I have it, they're going to go take a look at it.
Monitor, yeah. Okay.
Yep. And again, it's not review every penalty. We know the NHL won't do that. You couldn't have called a penalty in the third period in the Bruins-Leafs game. I mean, there were trips everywhere, holding everywhere.
Yeah.
So.
Well, even before then. I mean, I think there was one penalty in the first two periods. I'd have to check. But there were numerous instances where they could have blown the whistle in the first period alone, and they decided to let the guys play through everything.
Have some football news. Adam Schefter reports that after playing two seasons for the Raiders, Marshawn Lynch is not planning to play football again. So the Raiders would add running back to their positional needs. Ian Rappaport says They plan to take a running back early. Josh Jacobs in the 20s is a possible target for Oakland.
Oh, I was going to say, there's your surprise pick at four, right? The whole Ian Rappaport thing. They've sent their scouts home for a surprise pick because they're going to take a running back at four. That would be a surprise.
It would.
So maybe that's the pick. They knew Lynch wasn't playing anymore. They sent the scouts home. They don't want the surprise pick out there because they're going to take whatever. It's not like someone's trading up to get ahead of them to draft one of the running backs. And they do have three first-round picks, so I'm sure they can get a running back somewhere with one of those picks.
My latest thought on the Bills draft is that the second round is more interesting than the first round. The first round, you just pick whoever's the highest on your board. Second round, would they move up? Would they be interested in getting back into the first? Because, as we pointed out, and Sal brings this up a lot, moving back in from the second to the first means more contract control, right? You get the fifth-year option on a guy.
Right, which, in the first, yeah.
Which is pretty good. And can I just jump on the Hollywood Brown train right now? The speedy, fast, make guys miss, can score from anywhere. Not necessarily the deep threat guy, but I don't know, is Tyreek Hill a fair comparison here? Player comparisons are a trap. Yeah. I don't like to make those. But here's a guy that looks like he could catch the ball going over the middle and turn up and make guys miss and score. So if they go defensive tackle in the first round, second round will be interesting. And I'm going to want to see if I can get one of these receivers that there doesn't seem to be a consensus number one receiver, which is why the first round, the ninth pick, all right, you don't have to take one there. You get one with the 40th pick, and it's either Marquise Brown or Hakeem Butler. Who knows who ultimately lasts. But I think the second round might be a little bit more of a the Bills tell you who they are kind of move. All right, the first round, they can say best player available, best player on the board. By the time you get to the 40th pick, what kind of team do I want to be?
Yeah, and I was getting caught up on Path to the Draft, and one of the segments was the wide receivers. Daniel Jeremiah was breaking the guys down, and he said what he was doing was he was pulling the four top receivers from last year, and I forget who the four were. Christian Kirk was in that group, and he was comparing this group to the last year's group. He said Marquise Brown is the best wide receiver in the last two classes of wide receivers. Liked his speed, but he's not just a burner. He can create separation, and they said he's physically strong enough at the point of attack, at the point of catch, I should say, where he can make a difference there. But there are a lot of options. You know, you can bring up DK Metcalf, and this guy's a big physical receiver who can make plays downfield to be a good red zone weapon. They brought up A.J. Brown as a guy. They mentioned N'Keal Harry, the kid from Arizona State. He's maybe more of a win 50-50 kind of catches kind of guy. We've had a couple of guys that have come on, the draft experts, that brought up the kid from Stanford. They mentioned Arcega Whiteside as a second-round guy, good size, good at contested catches. And you mentioned Hakeem Butler. Apparently this guy's stock is like going up, really going up. That's the kid from Iowa State who's big but also can get downfield. He averaged 22 yards a catch last season and can, you know, is a take the top off a defense's kind of guy. So there's easily, what, one, two, three, four? That's half a dozen guys right there. And most, if not all, could be on the board in the second round, either at 40 or if the Bills need to move up a little bit in round two to get one of them. I really don't expect the receiver in round one. I think if they're going to go skill position, it's going to be one of the two tight ends from Iowa in round one. Or if they trade down to the bottom of round one, maybe the kid from Alabama, Irv Smith. Some people are talking about him as a late first round guy. I think there are plenty of receivers that you can focus on in round two or even round three because it's a pretty deep class there after round one. So that's fine. Hey,
sure.
More weapons for Josh Allen. The whole offseason's been about offense, and the draft can still be about offense. I know they're going to take a pass rusher. I'm pretty positive at some point they'll draft a cornerback. They'll look at their depth chart. Maybe they'll look to get another linebacker. Who knows? They're not going to ignore defense. I get that. But for me, the whole offseason, the draft is part of the offseason, and it's still about adding more weapons for Josh Allen. And you can look at the depth chart and see what they've done. And they brought in a couple receivers. They've added a couple of running backs now with Yeldon coming in. They did add a tight end in Kroft, but he didn't have great numbers in Cincinnati. So for me, it is still about where are you lacking more weapons for Josh Allen. I think tight end is absolutely number one on the list. And then you can make a case for bringing in another receiver. It's a smallish receiving core. You know, maybe they want a guy with some size who can win some contested catches and be a big target for Josh Allen. So let's continue what the theme of the offseason has been and find more skill position answers for the quarterback of this football team. 803-0550 to join us as we talk draft. 888-550-2550. You can share your thoughts on that. Sal's going to join us top of the hour at 8 o'clock. I screwed up the time you were supposed to be on, so Sal's coming up at 8, and we'll talk Bills draft with him. We have tickets to give away to see Wiz Khalifa. He's going to be out Darien Lake Sunday, July 21st at the Amphitheater. You want to win tickets, you can call now. Minimum value of the prize, it's a pair of tickets, is $60. They are courtesy of Live Nation. General contest rules apply. Call now. Caller number 5. You will win a pair of tickets for the Wiz Khalifa show at Darien Lake. If you don't win tickets, we'll have another pair to give away this week, and you can also buy them. They will go on sale this Friday at livenation.com.
Campbell at Ohio State was a slot receiver there. Nobody in the history of Ohio State has ever caught 90 passes in a season. He ran a 4.3, 140. He is an electric player. N'Keal Harry is my favorite wide receiver in this draft. He's just a big, strong kid, man. He looks like a strong side linebacker. He could play inside or outside. He could be your kick returner. A.J. Brown at Ole Miss, it might be the most smooth, fluid wide receiver this whole draft. I mean, I just think there's probably 10 or 15 guys that are going to be really good pros.
This is Brian Baldinger from NFL Network on One Bills Live talking about the wide receiver class we were just discussing.
10 or 15
good pros.
Really good pros.
Ooh. That is a deep class.
Well, 2013 is generally considered to be the best receiver draft class, right? That's Sammy?
And Odell.
No, it's 2014.
Sammy, Odell, Jarvis Landry, Jordan Matthews, except for his Bills career. I'm trying to think who else would have been in that class.
I'm pulling up the group here.
Okay.
Because that's the best ever, or one of the best ever, and how many good receivers came out of it? Watkins, Evans, Beckham, Brandon Cooks. Does Kelvin Benjamin count? Sure, he's had a career. Marquise Lee, Jordan Matthews, Devontae Adams, Allen Robinson, Jarvis Landry, Dante Moncrief. It's pretty good.
Where are you
Martavis,
at, seven?
Martavis Bryant. I'm up to over 10.
Okay.
Quincy Enunwa.
Yeah, he's okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's had a couple good games against
the Bills. That is a heck of a class. There are a bunch of misses in here, too. I didn't read a number of names. I mean, there were how many receivers drafted that year? Whoa, geez, this is a lot. 30 receivers drafted in that neighborhood.
Did you know? It's not a stat of the day, but just a little tidbit, because I was thinking we're going to have a Pats guest on at 9:30 talk about what their plan is for the draft. Did you know I'm watching Path to the Draft? New England, in Belichick's era, they've never drafted a wide receiver with the first round pick.
No, but they've traded a first round pick for one.
Yeah. Cooks? No.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. But they've tended to lean towards offensive line, line, linebacker.
Had they ever drafted a first round running back before last year? Lawrence Maroney.
I was going to say Michelle was not the first one, right?
Yeah. Lawrence Maroney, I think, was a mid 20s pick.
University of Minnesota.
Mm hmm.
Yeah. So, but typically he's gone line or linebacker. Let's get you the headlines. If you didn't stay up for all the Stanley Cup action, guess what? Boston won. Yay. Toronto lost. Woo! The Leafs lose Game 7 in Boston, third time in 7 years. 5-1 the final there, so Boston goes to round two. They will now take on the Columbus Blue Jackets. Go Blue Jackets. We now no longer root for Boston teams. San Jose beat Vegas 5-4 in overtime. This one was controversial. There was a major penalty called on Cody Eakin of Vegas. A little over 10 minutes left in the third period, a cross-check to the chest of Joe Pavelski. He hit the ice hard. They just called a major there. And then the Sharks scored 4 power play goals. They were down 3-0. They went up 4-3. Vegas tied it, and then the Sharks won in overtime 5-4. So now they'll play Colorado in round 2.
It is worth going back and watching all 4 goals because you get a sense of what it must have been like in that building as they score 4 goals on 1 major power play.
The 4th goal... The bench reaction was like, these guys were jumping around like little kids on Christmas Day. Like, it was just, It looked like a holy crap, are you kidding me celebration? Like, this just happened. We were losing 3-0 and now we're leading the hockey game. It was a really cool celebration.
What a terrible way to end your season if you're a Vegas fan,
yeah.
If you're a Vegas player.
I felt bad. They're showing Marcia So on SportsCenter right now, and I felt bad listening to him talk. It's a difficult thing to live with. Up 3-0, and I know, you're right. Hey, guys, kill the penalty. But still, it's a tough way to lose. When you think you're in control of the series, you think you're in control of the game, there's a penalty. Maybe the Vegas Knights didn't react to it well enough because they did give up 4 goals. But it's a difficult way to lose. And as a fan, that's a game that'll haunt you for a long time, right? You're just going to be – you'll spend the entire offseason. You won't get that game out of your system. You'll just keep replaying it. Like, did a Vegas fan – how long does it take to go to bed last night? You're – thinking about everything in that third period in that game last night and obsess over it. I mean, heck, we still get upset about games from 10, 15 years ago around here. I guess you got to win a cup if you're Vegas, right? And then you won't worry about that game the rest of your life. Go win a cup, and then you don't have to worry about it. If not, yeah, that's going to stick with you for a little while. Even, I think Marcia said something about it. Probably people will still be thinking about it when next season begins. What else? Oh, Carolina-Washington tonight. That's game 7. That's a 7:30 faceoff. Our NHL playoff scoreboard brought to you by Fiegel and Carr, your border attorneys. Zach Bogosian had hip surgery, the Sabres announced yesterday. The recovery period is 5 to 6 months. So we're talking missing training camp, maybe not ready for the start of the season. He's got 1 year left on his Sabres contract. The Amerks need to win in Toronto tonight, or else they are eliminated by the Marlies in that AHL playoff series. Portland wins. Yes, go ahead.
So you want Toronto to beat the Amerks, so Sheldon Keefe keeps going when they fire Babcock, the Sabres hire Keith, Babcock. And Keith, or you want the Amerks to bounce back. I'm trying to figure it out. I just want the Sabres to hire a coach or figure out some sort of rumor about anybody, so I don't know how to factor that in.
So you're saying if the Amerks bounce back, then the Leafs will be upset with Sheldon Keefe and they'll blame him for the Marlies
and
failures?
Fire them both. Yeah.
Babcock and?
And Keefe. Fire them both.
House cleaning. Okay.
You know it's time.
Yeah, I like that.
Clearly, they can't get over this hump.
Damian Lillard hit a long-range 3-point shot as the game ended. Portland eliminates Oklahoma City. Philly closes out their series with a win over Brooklyn. And let's see, Toronto eliminated Orlando. So, sorry, Leaf fans, but you got the Raptors. The Nuggets stay alive. They beat San Antonio. That series is Spurs in front 3-2. Yanks beat the Angels. Jays lost to the Giants. The Mets beat Philly. Bisons lost to Syracuse. Notable in that game, Bo Bichette, one of the Jays' top prospects, suffered a broken hand when he was hit by a pitch. He is out indefinitely. And the Seahawks traded defensive end Frank Clark to Kansas City for a first-rounder this year and a second-rounder next year. And the Chiefs promptly gave Clark a new 5-year, $105 million contract. Those are your headlines. The next update coming up at 8 o'clock. Draft Talk, 803-0550-888. What are the questions? 888-552-550. What are the biggest questions you have surrounding the Bills, your beloved Bills, going into the draft, which begins Thursday night? And I assume everybody else is.
Do you have a team you
had enough of the draft hype to get ready for the draft on Thursday?
Do you have a team you are second most interested in what they do? Bills won, obviously.
The Raiders have 3 first-round picks. I think that's fascinating in terms of, are they going to take a quarterback? Who else? I would bring up the Giants only from a standpoint of it'd be really funny if Gettleman just never addresses quarterback in the draft. I would wonder what's going on in New York if they don't take a quarterback.
Giants, no, not the
yeah,
Jets, the
Giants.
Giants,
right. Yeah. No, I think, the Raiders with the multiple picks and probably the Giants because of Gettleman. I'm not losing sleep either way about Arizona. I said it's a really strange draft. Because I haven't had to think about quarterbacks at all, I think that's part of the reason why I'm not following any of the quarterback subplots, other than the Giants, because that was such a big discussion a year ago when they decided not to take a quarterback and they drafted Saquon Barkley. So the Arizona storyline to me, I'm not following it as much. I told you, I'm watching Path to the Draft, right? I'm getting caught up in some of the Path to the Draft shows. And, they had a really long discussion on one of the shows I was watching about Kyler Murray. And then they talked about Daniel Jones and Dwayne Haskins. And honestly, I fast-forwarded through it. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. I don't care. I haven't had to worry about it this year. The Bills have what they hope is their quarterback. They're not going to take a quarterback. Although I know, was it Joe DiBiase tweeted something last night about the Bills taking Kyler Murray in one of the mock drafts that came through maybe the Draft Network machine? I don't know. Go look up Joe's tweet. There's a tweet from Joe about Kyler Murray going to the Bills in some crazy draft. I haven't thought about quarterbacks at all. So Arizona is not a storyline that interests me because I'm not paying attention to the quarterbacks. So Oakland and the Giants, even though I just said the Giants, it's more about Gettleman and whether he knows what he's doing. If not, Giants fans are going to be like livid if he doesn't take a quarterback this year. Mm-hmm. Anybody for you?
The Jets are up there for me. I mean, they have a high pick, and they're trying to potentially move down.
Mm-hmm.
For any Bills fan that thinks the Bills are just going to be better because of the money they spent in free agency, which they should, of course. They've got better players, better depth. The Jets spent more.
Well, they have more cap room.
Right.
Yeah.
The Jets added more. They added
big pieces.
Bigger pieces.
Bell and Mosley.
Maybe not bigger pieces. Mosley's a big
piece.
Well,
they added their big running back, they thought.
Right. And
Mosley's a big piece for that defense. Yeah, those are two huge upgrades for the Jets. Hope those are two huge upgrades for them. Those are big additions. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's the Jets are interesting because they don't have a lot of picks, right? I think they only have 6 picks. They lost some picks last year when they traded with Indianapolis to move up to get Darnold. So I think the big question for me about the Jets is, are they trading out of 3 to get more picks? Or do they stay there and get the best pass rusher that's on their board and add that guy to Greg Williams' defense? Miami, I haven't really thought much about Miami. You know what? I think about the Pats. We got a guest coming on at 9:30 to talk about the Patriots draft and their needs and everything. And I think about New England, about whether or not they're going to take a quarterback. You know, how long can Brady keep playing? New England traded away their quarterback of the future in Garoppolo. So do the Patriots take a guy at the bottom of round 1? I think they've got 6 picks in the top 100, 101, something like that. So they can be pretty active. I would assume they're going to grab a quarterback somewhere. A tight end. They obviously need a tight end. They need help at wide receiver. You know, Chris Hogan's gone. Josh Gordon, I saw, signed his tender offer, but who knows if he's going to come back and play with his off-field issues. So I think the Patriots need to address some offensive positions, and I'm curious to see what they do there.
Rams pick up the 5th year on Jared Goff. Any thought on that? I think it's a good move. It's not much different than...
If you tagged him, what would the cost? I mean, either that or you wouldn't pick it up and then you'd end up tagging him if you wanted to keep him,
If you wanted to keep him. It gives you one more year to make a decision.
Right.
And if you want to tag him for 1 year past that, you can get 6 years out of a quarterback without committing long term. I mean, you get the 5 years.
You can get 7. I mean, you could tag him.
Sure, you tag him twice.
Actually, you could... What happens if you tag a quarterback 3 years in a row? If you tag a guy 3 years in a row, they get quarterback money. He is a quarterback.
Right. I don't know. Maybe you get the top quarterback money.
Okay.
Who knows?
Yeah,
but the point is, I think it's a good decision because you have you have control.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure he's going to be worth a big money contract. You know, the league, the biggest decision you have to, there are two big decisions you make. One, which quarterback do you draft? And then the second one is he worth the next big contract? Derek Carr, mm-hmm. Matthew Stafford, Russell Wilson. Like, this is why the Seahawks have had to kind of tear down a bit. It's why they have to trade Frank Clark. Once you give big money to the quarterback, you don't have the money to go around other positions, so you don't have that market inefficiency that is the rookie quarterback contract. Mm-hmm. The Rams will have this decision. They buy themselves another year, which I think is pretty smart. Bortles is this, right? The Jaguars went in for Bortles for a 5th year.
Why? Don't know why they did that.
Well, they got one more year and then decided, all right, forget that.
Yeah.
And they might have actually extended him with an out instead of actually just picked up the 5th year. But the point is, with Goff, sure, push the decision off a year. If he plays like he did in the Super Bowl, you're not giving him that contract.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, I mean, ultimately, even with Bortles, too, even if you didn't want to pick up the 5th-year option, the Bills could do this with Shaq Lawson, too. They've got a decision coming up sometime. The deadline's next month at some point about whether or not they want to pick up the 5th-year option on Shaq's contract. You always have the franchise tag.
There's no chance.
Oh, I don't think so either.
No chance the Buffalo Bills use a franchise tag on him.
No, or pick. I don't think they pick up the option either.
No, that's what I mean.
You always have, as a team, you always have, if you don't pick up the 5th-year option, the guy plays, you can always just tag the guy. It's not like you,
I guess,
if you don't pick up the 5th-year option, you're not destined to lose the guy in free agency.
I shouldn't say there's no chance. I say it because I don't expect him to turn in the kind of productive season.
Right.
He would have to come out with 16
sacks
this year,
right?
And then it would happen, but I just don't see that. I don't see that scenario.
Right. He had a better year last year, but certainly not at the point where you would commit that kind of money to him.
5th-year options coming in. Adam Schefter reports that Ezekiel Elliott gets his 5th-year option picked up.
Okay.
The Saints are picking up defensive tackle Sheldon Rankin's 5th-year option. So these are guys that were drafted 3 years ago, entering their 4th year where you pick up the 5th-year option.
Right.
This is what the Bills did not do with Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, or Gilmore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't pick up Gilmore's 5th year?
I didn't
think they did.
Did they pick up Gilmore's option?
I think so.
Oh, I can't remember.
I don't know. I don't know. How many years did he play for the Bills? That's all you got to look up, right? Because they definitely didn't franchise him at any point.
Oh, they did pick it up. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry.
It was strange.
And then he walked in free agency. Okay.
It was strange not to pick up that Sammy option. You know, you've got a good player under contract. They didn't.
What I thought at the
they
time.
They didn't pick it up. And maybe the injuries were a factor.
I think I probably would have said that.
Yeah, injuries.
That they wouldn't pick it up because he was dealing with so many injury issues. And again, like I said, to me, I've never felt it's an artificial deadline. You don't lose control of the player if you don't pick up the fifth-year option. You always still have a tag, franchise tag, transition tag. You always still have a tag to fall back on. So the fifth-year option with a lot of these guys, it's not the be-all and end-all that you're screwed if you don't pick it up. 803-0550 to join us. Bruins beating the Leafs last night. Controversy in the Sharks-Vegas game. And, of course, the Bills and the NFL draft. We're talking about all of it this morning. Sal's going to join us at 8. And Josh Reed from Channel 4 at 8:30 as we talk with him about what he thinks the Bills should be doing. You can join us as well at 803-0550 or 888-550-2550. We are looking for sales help here at Entercom. We're looking to expand our team, getting ready for the next Bills season, getting ready for the next Sabres season. If you love sports and you'd like to go out and tell people about WGR and work for us, well, then you have your opportunity right now. All you need to do is apply online at Entercom.com. The position here would offer salary plus bonus and 401k, medical, dental, and paid time off, and plenty of other benefits. Again, if you want to join the WGR team, all you need to do is apply right now at Entercom.com.
We'll bring it up the floor last with
shot.
14.
You want the last shot.
Damian clears midcourt. He's got 11. Tied at 115. Crowd rising to the feet. George will defend Lillard. Spread floor. Lillard with 47 tonight. Working it down to 2-1. A deep three.
Oh! Goal! What?
Blazers win the series. A walk-off three from Lillard.
5 seconds. George back it up. Lillard doesn't want to pick. Dame going for the win. A three-pointer for the game. Yeah!
Two different calls of a crazy shot from Damian Lillard, 37 feet away.
If I were watching it live, I probably would have said something like, what's he doing? You're waiting for him to drive to the basket. He's like way out. So they say it's 37 feet. I mean, he's back near midcourt. You can see the logo and all that stuff. And he's one-on-one. But it looks like it's all cleared out for him to try and drive, beat the guy one-on-one. So he stops. And you get closer, drive, then pull back, try a three. Nope, he just stays right where he is and shoots a 37-foot three-point field goal to get his 48th, 49th, and 50th points of the game. Heck of a shot. And there were two things I wanted to bring up. One is explanation after the game, which is notable. He said he didn't want to leave it in the hands of the officials. On the previous possession, Oklahoma City, tie game 115-115, Russell Westbrook drove to the basket. There's contact. He doesn't score. There's no call. I mean, that's fine. It was probably a good non-call. But that's Lillard was thinking, why do that? Why leave it up to the referees to call the foul? I'm just going to shoot it from out here. And the other thing is, after the game, Portland's Twitter account, did you see what they tweeted? Next question. Now that's funny. If you're into taking shots at other guys and the team, the whole big debate about, you know, Russell Westbrook hasn't been taking questions from certain Oklahoma City media beat members. So he's been saying next question in the postgame press conference. So Lillard hits the shot. They put up a picture of Damian Lillard. Trailblazers tweet out rips, hashtag Rip City and next question. That's funny.
You got a whine? Anything to whine about? I've got a thought for you. It's not a whine necessarily.
I have less to whine about these days.
You're familiar with the term rain check, right?
Mm-hmm. Take a rain check?
Take a rain check.
Yep.
I think in this area, we need to invent or whatever, start using the term sun check. You cancel plans when it rains out, you give a rain check. Sometimes it's nice out.
It's too nice to.
And you want to cancel your plans. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to give you a sun check. The sun's out.
Wonder how that would go over.
You and I have plans maybe to go to the movies. We're going to go see.
I was going to ask you, what movie was I? It's funny. I was going to ask you to go see a movie. I can't remember which one it is now.
Oh,
go ahead. I was going to ask you to go see a movie.
Not Endgame, but something else. Right. You want to go see some movie. And it turns out that
I don't want to cry with
it's
you.
It's 74 degrees and sunny about an hour before the movie. I'm going to call you and say, I got to give you a sun check.
See, my feelings would be hurt.
It's too nice outside.
I would take.
I'll give
personally.
You a sun check soon when it's not sunny.
So we're
sunny.
Still going somewhere.
Yeah, we'll still go
on a bad
some
day.
Other time
on a rainy
when
day.
It's not sunny.
Okay, but if you won't go on a rainy day and you take a rain check, and you won't go on a sunny day, you take a sun check. When are we going to the movies?
On a cloudy day.
Like today.
Meanwhile, I wouldn't take a rain check on a rainy day if we're going to see a movie. This is only for things that are inside.
Outdoors.
Rain checks are when things are scheduled outdoors and you reschedule them. Sun checks when it's indoors and you want to reschedule it. Oh, I got a business meeting. I'm supposed to go to lunch with my boss. Hey, why don't we do a sun check? We'll take a lunch outside.
Actually, I have two choices I was going to ask you about. One's a movie. One's a concert.
Will I go with you?
Yeah.
All right. I'm ready. I'll tell you on a scale of 0 to 100, likelihood I will go with you. 0 being...
Is there a negative? There's no negative scale.
0 being Ted Nolan returns to coach the Sabres for a third time. All right. There's a movie and a concert.
Yeah. You okay. want the movie first?
Sure.
Shazam.
I mean, one.
Looks like a cute movie. I think it'd be kind of funny.
I'll
Brayden,
leave it as a one,
Brayden,
so
would you
I've
go?
Got I've got room to
one.
Move lower.
Brayden, how am I on the scale of 0 to 10? Shazam.
I have no interest in seeing that movie.
Right. Intern?
He's
I
with
got,
you.
I get a thumbs up.
There you go.
All right, the concert is, my wife is going to be out of town. I bought two tickets. I think Jonathan's going, but if he doesn't, I'm going to be in need of a date, you know? So the concert is The Machine, which is a Pink Floyd tribute band, with the BPO at Klein Hands. They're going to play the entire Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah.
And I think they're playing a second album, too. I know they're playing Dark Side of the Moon. So a Friday night concert, Machine, BPO, Klein Hands.
All right. I want to start by saying that sounds kind of cool.
Do you like Pink Floyd? I think you kind of have to like Pink Floyd.
I don't think you have to like
really? It. See, I like to know the music I'm listening to.
To know it, but to also see the BPO. That seems kind of cool.
Okay.
Zero. I'm not
Wait a minute. I had a better shot with Shazam?
Yes.
You're kidding me. Pink Floyd concert is so much better than Shazam.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to charge you for the ticket.
If we go to the movies, I could sit buffer seat away from you. If we go to see the BPO, I got to be right next to you watching
Seriously,
Dark Side of the
Moon. Seriously, you would sit buffer seat away from me.
Listen, it's about...
I shower.
It's about what you're comfortable with. We've sat in this same room together for 15 years, and yeah. we're a little bit apart.
We're across the counter from each other.
This
sure.
is the natural range between us.
Buffer.
So if we go to a movie, I'm going to want the buffer.
What if we go to the fancy schmancy theater over here on Maple Road
with the
recliner chairs where you have a little bit of room between seats anyway?
Yeah, if you're going recliners, you got to go. You got to hope there's not enough people there to have where you because they kind of come
you
in
sets. You can't really, but you got to buy the assigned seat.
Yeah, they come in sets of two almost.
Yeah, well, you
would go,
try and buy individuals.
You would go over the bridge.
Yeah.
So we each kind of get our own set of two. That's what I would do.
So oh, wow. I can't believe I'm hurt that you'd A, buffer. And I could do no better than a one.
By the way, do you know that
all the things I've got for you over the years.
Mike Milbury swore on TV last night?
No, I didn't. I didn't. Yeah. When?
During, I missed it. During the broadcast.
But at what point in the broadcast? I saw the first two, I was kind of flipping back and forth with the Mets game. I must have missed it.
He, in a very strange, did you hear it, Brayton?
I
very
did not
strange
know.
Tone and voice. He said, bleep me.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder where it happened now. Does it say anything like where it happened, like around
I've
what
time?
I've
got the video of it. It happened...
I got to watch it.
How much time's left in the period? But anyway...
Bleep me, huh?
And he said it like, bleep me, in that voice. It was very
Whoa!
Weird.
That's strange. I
and
tell you what.
Hopefully this gets him fired.
I've got to... I'm not a fan, obviously, but it's weird watching Bruins games with him because his Bruins analysis sounds like he's angry. Like, he is ripping Pasternak last night. And he is, there was a bad pass by McAvoy. When he has Bruins analysis, I swear it sounds like he is angry at those guys. And, I mean, who was it? One of the guys? Is it one of the Bruins he called soft earlier in the series?
Shocker.
Oh, Marcus Johansson.
Shocker.
Basically said, he's soft. You know, I mean, right, it's Milbury. Take it for what it's worth. He's, him doing Bruins games while hideous in nature, is funny because, like I said, he takes it personal and he gets really upset. But I didn't know he cursed last night. Now I have to go watch the video. 803-0550 to join us. So listen, if you want to go see Shazam with me, let me know.
We've got a couple texters.
Somebody's going to go to Shazam with me?
Terry says he'll go to the movies with you.
Okay. And I still need a date for the concert, you know, if my son doesn't want to go with me. So
that does sound like a cool thing. I mean, anytime.
I think it'll be a good show. It's a laser show, too, and it's really, I think it'll be fun.
That does sound cool.
Well, let me know if you change
your
mind.
What's the date on that?
Friday, May 3rd. Wife's going out of town. I need a date.
It's day before the Derby.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Kentucky Derby is that Saturday. Okay. So you can, you know what? You can wear your Derby hat to the concert. Sal's coming up next. We'll talk NFL draft with him. 803-0550 for you to join us on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.